Did you know there's no such thing as a natural disaster? Now, that's what we call it, a natural disaster. When something happens, there's a tidal wave, there's an earthquake. We call these natural disasters, but they're not. They're not. World War I and World War II, Korea and Vietnam, 9/11, Mount St. Helens, wildfires in California, flooding in Mississippi, in Canada, hurricanes in Louisiana, tornadoes across the plains, earthquakes in Japan and Haiti, tidal waves and volcanoes. All these, God orchestrated every one of them. And you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Indeed, according to Scripture, in the end times, the Word of God tells us things will wax worse and worse. Indeed. What a weak and feeble-minded nation we are concerning what the Bible tells us about the end times. How stupid and ignorant we present ourselves before a righteous God. What's wrong with you, North America? Are you blind also? You look around, you see tornadoes ripping your homes apart. It's scriptural. Wake up! You look around, you see hurricanes sweeping in from the angry sea, destroying everything you hope for. It's in the Bible. Wake up! You look around, you see the mighty wildfires eating away at the land. And you cry out, why me? Wake up, America. It's in the Bible. You curse and you damn the onslaught of your mother nature, as you call her, as the waters rise to encompass your livelihood. And you blame it on a freak of nature. It's in the Bible. Wake up. Wake up, America. That's the title of my message today. Wake up, America. Wake up. The day will come for all who have not hearkened unto the word of God. It will come. Your torment will then be for naught. The ears of God will no longer hear your cries. Why me? Why me? Why not you? The ears of goodwill will no longer, the ears of God will no longer hear your cries. You will be shut out. You will be lost to an eternal hell. Wake up, America! Wake up! If we don't wake up and smell creation and know that God is real and understand that every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God is truth, then hell's going to be so full, so filled up with so-called believers, their feet will be sticking out the windows. I'm going to start off my message with this verse, Psalm 12, verse 6. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Purified seven times. The number of perfection. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to deliver this message, Lord. I pray you will give me utterance. I pray, Lord, that you would open the ears completely who hear this message, and their hearts would be receptive to what is said here today, Lord. That when this message is finished, Lord, they will have new desires and new understanding of who our great God is and why things are the way they are. For you have said in your word, things will wax worse and worse. O Lord God, may many precious souls take flight and come to Thee, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen. You know, it's a sad commentary, but nonetheless, more truthful than you may think. We are living in the end times, and we have to wake up, America. You may have heard the adage, asleep at the wheel. Well, I don't mean to step on your toes. No, I take that back. I do. I do mean to step on your toes. The fact of the matter is, the wheel I'm speaking of is today's church. That's right. The one place we should be closer to God than any other. We listen, but we don't hear. Did you hear that? We listen, but we don't hear. It is written, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We read it, but we don't see it. Are we blind? Are we blind? For many, it is our hearts that are blind. We learn it, but we don't apply it. We talk it, but we don't walk it. You've heard it said over and over again, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Oh, give me a break, will you? I'm afraid, people, I'm afraid that's a sad fact of life. But it's not a valid excuse. I've heard that said many times. The church is filled with hypocrites. Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. How do you know? In my hand, which is just an ordinary hand like anyone else's, has five fingers, lots of skin, a few hairs about the knuckles, nails, well chewed. I keep short by biting them. I guess you could say for the most part it's an ordinary hand, but what I hold in it, it's not ordinary. It's my Bible. It's the Word of God. It's filled with the truth of God's Word. It's the authorized King James 1611 Bible. And though I don't have the time to detail the fact that it is indeed the infallible, the inerrant, the inspired Word of our living God, and according to God's word, the words of the Lord are pure as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Purified seven times unto perfection. Think about that. Verse 7 says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You know what the word preserve means? Did your mom ever make preserves? Fruit in jars, you know, to save for years down the road? God preserved His word. Oh, I know, it's been through a lot. It's been destroyed several times, but God still preserved it and made sure that we'd have it. And that's what the King James Bible 1611 is all about. The preserved word of God. In Psalm 138 it is written, For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. That's how important it is. That's how true it is. How preserved it is. God has magnified his word even above his own name. Powerful. Powerful. So, what's all this mean? Well, since there are over 400 perverted versions of the Bible currently in existence, it's up to us to decide which one is truly the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I made up my mind the first time I held the King James in my hand, and when I opened its covers, the truth revealed all its glory. There it was for me to see. And I got saved. And the Holy Spirit came within and dwelt within me and gave me the wisdom to understand what I was reading. Of course, I didn't understand it all in one moment. I had to study to show myself approved unto God. And so shall you. Call me a fanatical liar if you want. I can handle that. You see, it's not you I aim to please, it's God. I know the truth, and that truth has set me free. Now, concerning all those corrupt versions out there, sooner or later, well, they'll all be burned up with the rest of the devil's trash and personal belongings. You can't have two masters. You can't have over 400 Bibles that are not the same. You'd have to believe in four for 400 gods. You say, then how do we know which one is the true Word of God? Well, I'm glad you asked, and I'll tell you. It's the one with the most blood in it. The one with the most blood in it. You say, well, can't someone be saved through another version of the Bible? And I say, yes, they can. And you say, well, isn't that all that's necessary? The salvation part? And I say, yes. If the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, if you believe that old things are passed away and all things become new, if you come from amongst the unclean thing and be ye separate, if you believe you're a sinner saved by grace, if you believe that Jesus suffered and died for your sins and you are washed in His blood and that He rose on the third day, if you believe in a literal fire and brimstone hell, if you believe you have the complete canon of Scripture as preserved by God, if you fall short on any of these precious Scriptures, you're on your way to hell. Paul says we are to examine ourselves. But if you hold fast to a corrupt and perverted version of the Bible and believe it to be the Word of our living God, then I would not hesitate to say you are living a lie. It is written, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You got that? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Did God write over 400 Bibles, each one different? I say no. Now why choose the King James Bible? Well, here's a clue that may set you free. Now there are many reasons to choose the King James. But the one that I find overwhelmingly convincing is the simplest reason of all. Listen up. The King James keeps all the blood in. All the blood in. You see, it's not so much what has been added to the corrupt versions as it is rather than what has been removed. Things like the blood, the very essence of your salvation. When you remove the blood, by going to another Bible that does not contain the blood, then what you're doing is you're not believing. You're casting doubt upon your own salvation because you don't understand that the blood is what saves you. When you remove the blood, you remove the resurrection. When you remove, thus saith the Lord, and it is written, then you're calling God a liar. It is written, let God be true, and every man a liar. Now, I have no intention of examining and comparing over 400 versions of the Bible, simply to add more dung to the already blazing inferno. However, let it be suffice to say this. In John 8:32, in the King James, it says, or the Word of God says rather, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is what makes you free. If you don't know the truth, then you have not been made free, and you are still in your sins and headed straight to hell. That's not negative preaching, folks. That's about as positive as it gets. The key word is truth. When you ignore God's truth, you come under bondage. Christians cannot be possessed by the devil, but they can be oppressed by the devil. Most of this oppression is against the flesh, which is weak and easily controlled or perverted. Did you know that in the eyes of God, a synonym for truth is the word obedience? Yeah, a synonym for truth is the word obedience. Your blessings are measured by your obedience. Your obedience to God. Your obedience must agree totally with the Word of God. You can't obey in just some things and not obey in others and say, well, I'm a good Christian. God is not the author of confusion, folks. And since He's not, who is? Satan is. Satan. Believing in Christ will get you to heaven. But if you are not walking in the truth of God's Word, you allow, even invite, the world's demonic presence. A presence that will have dominion in your life. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. And oft times, easy prey for Satan. While Satan can't have your soul, he can still sift you as wheat. Yes, he can. Like I said, John 8:32, the truth shall make you free. And it's probably one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. Before I fully touch on what God has written here, I'd like to take the liberty, with all due respect to our holy and righteous God, and apply this verse in a secular way. Hopefully, in the end, you'll better understand what is really meant by the truth that makes you free. Now listen up, America. Listen up. Remember when you were a child and you did something wrong? Something that would most certainly irritate or be annoying to your parents? It may have been, playing hooky from school by pretending to be sick. Or skipping out on a class. Or even stealing something as small as a school eraser. Or worst of all, not getting your chores done and saying you had done them. Then, one day all your sneaky lying is found out. And what happens? Your world comes crashing down. When I was a kid, we called them barefaced lies. Barefaced lies. You know, one thing I could never do, and I can't even do it today, is tell a lie with a straight face. I couldn't do it when I was young because I always feared the outcome. And I can't do it today because I still fear the outcome. Blessings lost. I looked guilty even when I was telling the truth. Remember those days? Just so you wouldn't have to suffer the consequences of losing your allowance. My parents used to always say, "Now, Tommy, just tell us the truth and we'll forgive you." Well, that was the biggest lie of all. I mean, the truth really hurt. So I learned never to tell the complete truth. And I would hope my parents never found out. It was so much easier on the head and the backside. But you see, that's my whole point. It's written that the truth will make you free. Now, you might get a scolding, you might get a spanking, you might get a whop on the side of the head even. But when it's all done, then it's over. You're free then, start anew, afresh. But if you lie, you keep it inside. And it'll always be there, rising to the surface from time to time, annoying you, and giving you that guilty look. So you get a whooping. So what? You know, I just didn't understand that although you may be free, there are still consequences. Some of them I still feel today. You see, if you admit your sins to your parents, chances are they'll forgive you and maybe send you to bed without supper or take away your allowance for a week. It's better than a trip to the woodshed. Well, ain't it the same way with God? You see, God never changes. But He surely does forgive us our sins. They're all under the blood of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that these sins that you commit after salvation are going to send you to hell. No, because once saved, always saved. But what they do is they stop you from receiving God's blessings. He's waiting there, a whole bucket of blessings for us all, wanting to pour them out on us every day. And all we got to do is mess up and He holds them back. We ask for this. Please, Lord, help me get this. And please, Lord, help me to do this properly. Or do this or do that. And we wonder why God doesn't respond. Because we're holding sin back. Keep short accounts with God and the blessings will continue to flow. He understands the weakness of the flesh. A lot of people think, well, just because I'm saved, you know, my sin's under the blood, I'm going to heaven and I don't have to worry, I'm going to sin anyway. But you still come to God in your daily prayer life and say, "Forgive me, I'm sorry, help me to be stronger so I don't do it again." Well, ain't it the same way with God? Yes. He surely does forgive us our sins. That's why He sent His only begotten Son to set us free. And that's wonderful. But just like your parents, there are still consequences to these sins. Some severe, some not so severe. While Mom or Dad may take away your allowance, like I mentioned, God has His own methods of slapping your behind. Especially when you're older and they understand more about what sin's all about. But you know something? God really understands why you do what you do. And since He is our Heavenly Father and He loves us very much, He knows we have to be reckoned with. You know, if you love your child, you discipline them. An undisciplined child is a child who does not have the love of his parents. You see, if you're living in sin and disobedience, well, God is so holy, He can never look upon sin. You know, when Jesus was on the cross at Calvary, burdened with all our sin, all the sin of the world was on Him. You know what? Remember, if you look in the Bible, it says there were 3 hours of darkness came upon the earth. You know why? Because God could not look upon His Son, laden, burdened down with our sins. He couldn't look upon them for 3 hours. Oh, God the Father had to turn His back. Yeah, He's just so holy. He can't look upon sin. If it weren't for the finished work of Jesus, none of us would go to heaven. That's what I mean. The blood washes us clean. And if you remove the blood, you're removing your salvation. You never had it to begin with. Now, when you read the Bible, John 8:32, that the truth will make you free, do you really understand what God's saying here? No? God loves us. God loves us very much. So very, very much. The truth is the Word. And the Word is what? The Word is Jesus Christ. So what makes you free? Jesus the Christ. That's who? The Word. And the Word is what? Truth. Christ paid the price that we could not pay. Repent, admit you're a sinner, and believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Trust in Him. He sticketh closer than a brother. And each time your sinful flesh drags you down, again and again, and it will, talk to God. Tell Him you're sorry and ask Him for strength to overcome your weaknesses. Help me, Lord God. I'm just so weak in the flesh. Help me, Lord. That's what He wants to hear. That you need Him. He loves you, but you've got to need Him. Now watch this. Is the truth that makes you free after being forgiven by your parents the same truth spoken of in John 8:32? Nope. In John, the truth spoken of here is in the person of Jesus Christ. Remember the truth and the Word? He is the truth. He is the one who set you free. How do you know that? Well, if we look at John 14:6, what does Jesus say to His apostles? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what's the truth? Jesus the Christ. He's like the three in one. There's a Trinity within a Trinity. There's Jesus, there's the Holy Spirit, and there's God the Father. That's the Holy Trinity. But within Christ, there's another Trinity. It's the way, the truth, and the life. The Trinity of Christ. The truth mentioned to your parents when you're a disobedient child, even though it is the truth, is not to be confused with the person of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. When Jesus speaks of being made free by the truth, He's speaking of Himself. In other words, if we believe in Him, in His purpose for coming to the earth, in His purpose for suffering and dying for our sins, in His purpose for the shed blood, in His purpose for rising again on the third day, then and only then are we made free. Not from the consequences of sin, but free from the penalty of sin. Do you understand that? The consequences will always be there while we're in this flesh, but the penalty has been taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is hellfire for all eternity. Okay. Now that we know what the truth is, or whom the truth is, now we must know all that the truth does and how the truth works. Into everybody's life, the saying is, a little rain must fall. Into the life of many, a lot of rain will fall. It is written that rain falls upon the just and the unjust alike. It doesn't matter if you're the president or you're the pauper. The rain falls on each of you. If you're righteous or you're unrighteous, the rain still falls upon you. Now, since the fall of Adam, when sin first entered in, the battle between right and wrong has not only remained, it has also increased. And the way it stands right now, sin has the upper hand and will prevail until the Lord's return. When you hear the word sin, be sure to equate it with the master of sin, that old devil, who walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he does. Are you easy prey for that old devil? You know, Satan is known by many names. The devil and Apollyon, only being two of them. His mandate is to recruit as many souls as possible to spend eternity with him in the lake of fire. Wow, do you want to be one of them? I don't. And that's why I believe in Jesus Christ. You see, if he can take more souls to hell than goes to heaven, then he will have won a major victory. It's a simple matter of good over evil, light over darkness. Yes, the truth will make you free, because the truth is Jesus Christ, the only one who could cleanse you from all your iniquities through his obedience to the Father by shedding his blood. If you want to be free, then you must come to him and receive him as your personal Savior. And I can't emphasize enough that it has to be a personal relationship, not a mass gathering of people and they all say a prayer of salvation together. It's one-on-one. One-on-one. Not like a Billy Graham crusade where 10,000 come forward and only 1,000 get saved, or really speak the truth, or really mean what they're saying. It's one-on-one when it comes to salvation. Oh my. I just can't emphasize that enough. It's a personal relationship where you are fully willing to give your life over to the King of Kings. So what do we know so far? We know the way. The way is his way, Christ. Repent, which simply means to turn away from being a captive to sin and being set free by believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's a direction you're going in. When you repent, you stop going down that road of ill repute and damnation, and you start going down that narrow road that takes you to glory. That's a difference in direction. You turn around. Now, like I said before, and I don't mean you're going to stop sinning, because your old flesh is still there. But when you turn to Christ, you turn around. You turn around. Don't let anybody tell you different. We know the truth, which is that Jesus willingly went to the cross of Calvary, suffered and died for our sins, and that you can be justified and be guaranteed a place, a mansion in glory. You ever live in a mansion? Some of you may have, but not like the mansion that Jesus is preparing for you. For them that believe and trust in him. We know the life, because the grave couldn't hold him. Jesus, our way, our truth, rose from the grave to show that death had no dominion and no power Not only over him, but over everyone who believes in him and follows him. Jesus definitely is the way, the truth, and the life. It's our choice to believe in him or not. Our choice. The most powerful verse in the Bible is right here in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man, no woman, no young person, no old person. And ignorance is no excuse. You see, in every human being, God places a seed. Another name for this seed is called a conscience. As a small child, you may not have a clear understanding of what the conscience is all about. But there comes an age called the age of accountability. And once you reach this age, it is then you must decide whom you will serve. God or Satan. The choice is yours. Now, some of the common arguments you hear, especially from senior folks, are, I'm too old to change now. Poppycock. You're never too old. As long as there's breath in you when you know what you're saying. Unless your heart has been hardened and there's a breath of life left in your body, then you can come to Jesus this very day and be saved. Saved. Saved to the uttermost. And know for sure, you are on your way to heaven and not to hell. That's the first excuse. The second excuse, I've never believed much about the Bible before. I'd be a hypocrite to start believing now. No, again. If you have not rejected Christ and put him to an open shame, and if your heart has not been hardened, like I said, and it hasn't, if you feel a need to repent and call on Jesus today, then it's not too late. God knows every heart, and he looks upon every heart. I urge you to receive him this day, not tomorrow, next week, this day. Ask your Lord and Savior. Repent and be converted. No matter what your condition, doesn't matter. God loves you. And right this minute, he's standing at the door knocking. Waiting for you to open the door. Let him come in. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What a wonderful invitation. Is he knocking at the door of your heart? Huh? If he is, and if I were you, I'd make proper haste to open that door right now and say, come on in, Lord Jesus. Come on in and save this sinner. Oh, yes. Did you know you're a sinner? You know, it's written in the Bible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. But if you think you're not a sinner, then you ain't never going to get saved. Because there's nothing to save you from. He doesn't save you from your stupidity, your arrogance, and your ignorance. He saved you from your sin. Now, before you start throwing chairs at me, it wasn't me who wrote these words. It was God. Okay? Now, finally, the biggest obstacle that keeps folks from making a decision for Christ is, anybody know? Pride. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. In the book of Proverbs, it is written, these six things doth God hate. Yea, seven are an abomination. And guess what number one is? Pride. Yeah, pride. If you're going to let pride keep you out of heaven, then God don't want you no how. Just stay the way you are, and before you know it, that old devil will be coming by on the Fireball Express to take you nonstop to a place called hell. How many of you believe in hell? Now, there's this true story of this man. He died in a hospital. It's a true story. And the closer he gets to death, the more he screams from his hospital bed. You can almost visualize this, eh? He screams. He's saying the demons are dragging him by the feet. The demons are dragging him by the feet. They're tugging at his feet. Not a pretty sight. Wake up, America! Wake up! Lord God, oh Lord, thank you for this time I could preach this message, Lord, because it's such an important message. Oh Lord, how I pray that every ear that hears this, Lord, will be the ear of one who needs Thee, Lord. Oh Lord, Thou art not willing that any should perish, that all should come unto repentance. Oh Lord, draw them, draw these precious lost souls to your Son, that they might be saved, just as you've saved me. Oh Lord, you can save me, you can save anybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.